Blog Talk Radio.
Dedicate our life to this sport. We give, we do thousands of sit-ups in camp. We run hundreds of miles, you know, for the ones that take it serious. And we just dedicate ourselves fully to our craft, man. We watch tape. We you know, we have attitude. We're rooting, and we want that fight and to land on the line.
Fans, this is the Rope-A-Dope Radio Podcast. I am your host, Chris Carlson. We are live kind of late at night, almost 11 o'clock Central. You know how it is. Life gets in the way, especially when you're trying to have a fun summer. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, I'm not kidding, but yeah. Anywho, hope everybody's doing all right. Kind of just spur-of-the-moment type show tonight. Not that there's any, you know, breaking news or anything like that, but I'm actually leaving for vacation for a handful of days tomorrow. And I really didn't want to do this during the day to delay me taking off. So I figured, why not just give you guys some content, and hopefully you'll be happy with that. And then we'll be back at it normally next Monday. Anyway, you know, there is a variety of stuff to talk about. We talked about that doubleheader. Basically, I mean, it wasn't just a doubleheader on ESPN, obviously, because ESPN Plus, I think, was like a five-hour stream or something like that. But the top two fights, Dogbe and Gonzalez and Cabrera and Flores Jr., you know, we talked about how on paper it was evenly matched. Now, the first fight sure didn't turn out that way, and it didn't turn out that way in a hurry. Don't get me wrong. Flores, you know, I wouldn't say Gabriel worked his way back into the fight, like all the way back into the fight, but considering how within, what, 5 or 7 seconds, that shit went bad for him real quick. He did fight his ass off, and, you know, I remember talking about, sometimes I'll get confused if I write it in my prediction blog or if it's on the show, but, you know, I called that fight, in a sense, like, for, I don't know, like, almost a crossroads for Flores Jr., because it's like, wow, dude, like, he's so young. He had a lot of hype, you know, behind him, obviously, but he's so young, but he's got to really turn it up, and you could say, you know, Gonzalez and Dogbe was similar anyway. They're both with the right company for now, so they should be able to rebuild and whatnot. Gonzalez in that scenario, I wouldn't mind seeing a rematch, actually. But, I mean, Dogbe definitely, like I said, age-wise, he's not super old, but he's taken some punishment. So it was a crossroads fight for him, I thought for sure. But Dogbe ended up getting a very, very close decision. I thought it was a fair decision based off the cards. It was a split decision. We'll get into that. Then we'll talk about Showtime's triple header this weekend. Danny Garcia returns to the ring. It's been quite a long time since, what would that be, 2020. December 2020 against Spence was his last fight. Jose Benavidez, who's only lost to Crawford, both of them aren't, you know, any kind of true 154-pounders or anything like that, although I do think Benavidez has fought there a little bit more. But, you know, considering what the fight is as far as being out of the ring so long, I don't mind the matchup that way. Benavidez is a game fighter. The undercard, you know, I've heard a lot of people not excited or seen a lot of, I should say, about the Antoine Russell, Gary Antoine Russell, and Francis Bartholomew, because because Bartholomew in the last chunk of years has had some fights where, you know, they're slow. And a lot of people pinpoint him as a spoiler of sorts. Now, it does take skill to spoil at times. It kind of matters, you know, if you're still scoring points or not. But he didn't start his career like that. In fact, he was overly aggressive. I think it was at the Target Center on Friday Night Fights. Yeah, because that's the fight where Caleb Truax lost to Ossie Duran. No, it was a draw to Ossie Duran. He was actually over-aggressive in that one. He ended up getting into a little trouble there, minorly anyway. But, you know, for what – I still think it's going to give, you know, Russell – I think there's something there that Russell can learn, you know, off of this fight. He's not – he doesn't have a ton of fights. So that's kind of the angle I'm taking. You know, I'm not excited for the matchup like, oh, dude, this is going to be a great matchup. But I don't think it's bad development-wise. Let me restate that. I don't think it's as bad as some folks, you know, are talking about it. Just a lot of people remember that Easter Jr. fight. I don't know. I just think that it's a good development fight. This is not some chump walkover type fight. And if he does spoil and he does make it difficult, I think it's good for Gary Antoine to, you know, go through that. You learn off of that. It may not look pretty, but you do learn off of that. You definitely do. And then, speaking of crossroads fight, Kozlowski in a crossroads fight for sure. His last two outings, he's taken the L, the Hellenius, and now he's in there with Demirazin. Just a, you know, a game dude as well. Solid fighter. I think stylistically it'll be a fun fight. I mean, usually Kozlowski's in a good-ass fight. So, crossroads fight, I like that fight. It's pretty decent anyway. On Sky Sports, I don't know if it has a home here just yet. I will check into that a little bit later. Can't remember if it has a home yet. But anyway... Chris Billiam Smith and Isaac Chamberlain. I think that's a really interesting bout. You know, it's definitely a 50-50. I actually haven't checked. It's just early in the week, but I actually haven't checked the odds on it yet. But I'm assuming, I think I did see them. I think they're already posted. But I haven't seen them of late. I saw the original one, but I bet you it's still really, really close. And by the way, you know, last week the show cut off at me at the end, and I was about to play this Steven Espinosa clip, and of course, because I didn't, and I played Ryan Garcia, I think I played an Oscar De La Hoya one too, yeah, I did. Of course, you know, I got some blowback for that, so, and I get it, but I didn't purposely do it. You know, last week went really longer than I thought it would. You know, we were talking about that WBA alleged scandal, you know, and that that whole topic, that whole segment went a little bit longer than I thought. But no, I didn't duck it. It's always, oh, you're ducking it, you're ducking it. No, I'm not ducking it. I'll play the clip about what Espinosa said, and then I'll play some other clips as well. So I'll follow up on that. I'm not going to spend a bunch of time on a fight that is or is not being currently negotiated right now. I believe it's being, well, I don't know if it's being all the way negotiated. It's probably just being visited. I don't know the term right now, but I don't want to spend a bunch of time on there. But because I got, you know, some blowback, I will play the stuff, the Espinosa clip. You know, and then also Oscar De La Hoya again, because he does have a clip where he says something about, people are kind of wondering, is Ryan Garcia signed with DAZN? You know, because that's always been this big thing, not just with Ryan Garcia, but, you know, the PBC fighters, are they fine, you know, signed with Showtime? Most of them not, you know what I mean? Or Fox or whatever. Same with ESPN, you know, we know they have the output deals. You know, we know ESPN and but of course Showtime, DAZN, blah, blah, blah. But I'll follow up there, but I really don't want to spend a ton of time on that, guys. I've already given my take on it. A lot of people don't like the fact that, well, I shouldn't say a lot. It's kind of half and half, I'd say a lot. But there is some people out there, you know, that I got some pushback on my thoughts on that and how, you know, as if me as a boxing fan, I wouldn't want a split site or something like or split pay-per-view. You know what I mean? I'm just big on, you know, something. I'm big on reality when it comes to boxing. And that's really the only thing that's kept me from being completely jaded. You know, as a fan and a media member, I, to an extent, I am jaded. I mean, for sure. There's no way around it. But I like to be realistic. I like to talk about the truth or being realistic of something, not, I don't know. I've seen multiple messages. I've seen it on a variety of, even people that I have a lot of respect for, you know, talk about it on their podcast or YouTube channel or your tweet about it. It was very, this whole week it's been a very topical thing. And basically some people out there questioning, and it's not just me, because, like I said, a lot of people go this route where you're just like, and you could call it jaded if you want. That's fair. Like I said, I am to an extent. But that's kind of how I remain sane in this stuff. But to question people's love of the sport or something like that, because, you know, by me saying that, there's only a handful of, you know, split networks, pay-per-views, since pay-per-view came around. There's really not even that many. But for me saying that and stating that and saying usually the A side in this scenario, blah, 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 that's just the business stuff. And so I have gotten some pushback, but I expect it. You know what I mean? I expect it. But I think it is a little disrespectful to sit there and bring in someone's fanship over. And in fact, it can be the opposite, where the fandom runs away and they're like, oh, it should be this. Now all of a sudden, they're you know, I do see a lot of media members changing their tune, you know. And it's just honestly a lot of it, not all of it, but I'm talking about part-time media, but really full-time media as well, and not just Mannix, you know, who works for DAZN. But, you know, it's really funny to see the difference when the PBC has an A side, and with Oscar or you know, Matchroom or whatever. Like how many? Here's an example. How many times have you seen Eddie Hearn, or back when this was being negotiated? How many times did you hear Eddie Hearn say that Showtime or Fox or whatever, Showtime and DAZN, it should be a split pay per view or Sky, I suppose. But it'd be DAZN here. How many times did you hear him say that? Now, we know who was the A-side in that scenario. No doubt about it. No doubt about it. Anthony Joshua was. I mean, look at Devin Haney. Did Eddie Hearn ever say it should be a split pay-per-view? Did we ever hear that? Or it should be split broadcast or some shit like that? Like, I just think people get a little, I don't know, some people will tweet for certain reasons, people are a little bit just biased. I think everybody is biased when it comes to, like, picking fights or fighters they like. But sometimes it bleeds into a lot of this stuff, especially when it comes to Oscar De La Hoya. The guy fought everyone in the book. I respect the shit out of his career. The people that say he never won a big fight, all right, dude, fine. But you know what? You know, he fought a lot of fighters, dude. So, you could say, oh, Danny Garcia never won a big fight at 147. Yeah, but, dude, he fought a lot of guys, man. I mean, Thurman, Porter, Spence. I have a great deal of respect for Oscar De La Hoya, but for him to just out of the blue say, well, this is how it's got to be. I mean, to say that even Charlo Munguia has to be a split pay-per-view, it's like, you have to put money up first before you say that shit. So anyway, it's just funny what this stuff makes or say or whatever. But like I said, I'm a realist, okay? Do I give a fuck? Like, I'm going to pay for the pay-per-view no matter who the fuck's broadcasting it. If it's split, if there's four different broadcasters, you know, I don't give a shit. I'm gonna pay for it. But when you talk realistic about something and then you know, people respond by saying, you know, basically, like, that's nonsense. Like, it's bullshit. Like, what I'm saying is completely bullshit. It's just funny. It's like, really? Because that's realism. You know, that's realistic shit. This is reality. It's a business. It's an ugly, nasty, bullshit business. And that's why, you know, it's always my 1A, 1B, 1C. You know, football, basketball, tennis for an adult, you know, a little specialized stuff like that. But I'll always love boxing. But I, like I said, there was a time where I was so caught up in emotion and passion that, I don't know, I just checked that. I mean, I still have a lot of passion for it, a lot of emotion and all that, but I don't like to just fanboy it, basically. It's just funny, like I said, when the A side resides on the PBC, and obviously Mayweather was never PBC. I know that he invested in it, so he basically kind of is. But it's just funny how people say shit completely different, like just based off that. I'm not talking about the people that just are always consistent with. I think everything should be a split pay-per-view in scenarios or whatever. I'm not talking about those people. I agree. I wish that was the case, you know? But anyway, we'll talk about it just minorly. Like I said, here I am saying I don't want to talk about it, but that's why, because it just gets old. But I will follow up because I did get several people asking for something and being able to show what Espinoza said and all that, so I will follow up on that. The WBA, by the way, did make some announcements. Some of them are a little too late, but it doesn't matter. Well, all of them are too late with the WBA, right? But Leo Santa Cruz was denied a unification with Ray Vargas, and he was giving, what, a 24-hour period to see if he wanted to accept the fight with Lee Wood. Well, it turns out he did. So that's kind of an interesting fight. Like I said last week, I thought Ray Vargas is a better fight, but either one, Lee Wood or Vargas, I was going to be okay with. I like both of those opponents. And then we, you know, of course, some fight news, some boxing Twitter segment. Campos is in Haiti. It sounds like that's getting close. A couple other fights that are talked about. Caleb Plant might make his return here soon. So we'll talk all about it in just a little bit. Like I said, we'll start in the ring, and then we'll talk a little bit of news. I'm really excited to see what this fall and winter schedule starts to shape up. We are, you know, September. I'm not going to say it's stacked, but we have two really good fights right now in the main events anyway, but I'm really interested to see how we're going to close to the year. You know, if we're being honest, July and August, it's just okay. We have like a big, big fight, of course, with the Usyk and AJ rematch in August, about a month from now. But you know, we just got spoiled, dude. From April to June, we got spoiled. And so it's okay. You know, it's okay that we're not getting these crazy fights or anything, but it does have a vibe as far as big fights. You know, it kind of does have a throwback vibe before the networks and all that got back into it. ESPN got to deal with Top Rank and stuff like that. Sometimes you go 6 weeks without a really, really interesting card. And I'm talking about a top flight card. I really liked the card from last weekend, especially on paper with both the top. The main event turned out really good. That was a very competitive fight. But I have seen some people kind of, you know, kicking rocks right now. Like, man, boxing sucks. And it's like, I hear you, dude. It's slower. I mean, well, you know, as far as the schedule, there's always fights every weekend. But I see where they're coming from, but you're not going to get me to complain about it this year. I'll tell you that. Last summer, the COVID thing with Fury, so Fury and Wilder got pushed back. Pacquiao Spence fell apart because of the injury. You know, so we did actually kind of really have a dampening type. We had a good close, but we had a really poor summer as well. So maybe people are kind of just remembering that. But anyway, if this is your first time listening to the Ropadope Radio podcast, welcome. It streams live right here on blogtalkradio.com/ropadoperadio. You don't have to go to blogtalk and Ropadope and download the show directly there or listen to the browser. If you don't want to, you can find the platform on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Player FM, TuneIn, Stitcher, Spreaker, Amazon Music, Google Podcasts. Someone always says, I listen on Google Podcasts, so I always mention it. While you're at it, why don't you head on over to thegruelingtruth.com. And one more thing, if you're thinking about cutting a cord, or you have, you're not quite happy, I got something for you. It's called DirecTV Stream. And right now, they're breaking it down in a variety of ways. There's four separate streaming packages. Okay, the first one starts at $69.99. And as you go up to the choice and the ultimate and the premier package, then you can start to add 3 months with HBO Max, Showtime, Cinemax, and Stars as far as on this platform. Showtime has a deal with DirecTV for $5.50 per month for 3 months. Something to think about. That's DirecTV Stream. Okay. So, and I'm kind of talk as loud as I normally do, so hopefully it's not messing up stuff. Like I said, I'm just starting this podcast a little late. Let's start in the with the co-feature with Giovanni Cabrera and Gabriel Flores. And speaking of Flores, floor is the key word there. Quick left hand, what, 5-7 seconds in or something like that? Bam, drops him. I'm like, oh, shit. Wow. Okay, that was pretty intense. I mean, Cabrera was just unloading, mostly left hands, just unloading on him. There was a second knockdown in that round, several left hands, and I think it was a left hand, or several really good lands, and I think it was a left hand that kind of had Flores crash into the rope. Flores, I'll say this, he did manage 4 or 3 punches near the end. I thought, oh, wait, maybe his legs aren't as bad as they first looked, but it did not look good. Round two, some two-way action, but by that time, Flores, it just seemed like he was just missing a lot because, you know, he was trying to go for the gusto at that point, and you could just see Giovanni was landing better. Now, the third round, I thought, clearly, it was a very two-way round, but Gabe, during some of this back and forth, he was landing the better punches, whether it's left hook and a right hand. I know Cabrera, landed a few good shots down the stretch of that third round, but it wasn't enough. I actually didn't give that to Flores. And I was kind of like, all right, dude, wow. Like, that's kind of impressive 2 rounds later, when it looked like you were about to be done. And then you could kind of see Cabrera using his jab at range to kind of just get focused again. And then it was like, what a two-punch. He just kept two-punch combo. He'd throw a combo, and then with this little subtle movement, he did that in the fifth round. I think it was the combination hurt him, and then I think it was a right hand, and the right hand kind of landed on the side of Flores' head, if I remember correctly, but lead lefts, straight uppercuts, whatever. I mean, he was, I'll say this too, Cabrera was a little overall better than I thought. Not that Flores, I actually did pick Flores Jr. in it. Well, on the books, it wasn't that much of an upset. I think I only saw one website that had him as a very, very minor underdog, but I don't know. Like, I didn't think he's a little bit quicker than I thought. I'll give Giovanni credit for that. And these subtle little movements, using angles, stepping back, landed a good punch. I still think he keeps his hands down way too low, but to be fair, you could say that a lot about a lot of fighters, you know? I mean, ever since, I don't know, the 2000s, whatever, you know, a lot of people try to fight like Roy, and, you know, it is what it is. But, yeah, after that, I mean, the seventh round, there were some good moments. Even the sixth round, there was exchanges midway. But, like, that slight step back and then a flush land by Cabrera, that was the difference, man. That was the difference. You know, the left hooks for Flores did start to find a home down, you know, maybe the seventh or eighth round. That was a close round. You know, I did respect Flores in many ways because he was swinging for the fences all the way down the stretch. But, I mean, 189 to 57 was the punch count. All three judges had it 98-89. And I heard a lot of folks say that, you know, Gabriel Flores Jr. needs to hang it up. He needs to hang him up. And, I don't know. I mean, it's a tough one. He's so damn young. Shit, Jean Pascal. I'm about to mention him in the news because of he's a mandatory that just got called. I mean, and that's a bad example because he, you know, used a bunch of, well, let's just put it this way, he failed some tests. I'm torn on this one. I saw a tweet, you know, he needs to get, you know, a good union job and just hang up the gloves. And I get it. You know, I do get it. He has taken a whole lot of punishment in these last handful of fights. And you don't normally see a guy that was touted like that. Usually it's like Gomez, right, where he just gets in trouble. You know, the weight's not right or whatever, you know, like they just kind of F off their professional career and mess up. Like I said, whether it's partying, whether it's, you know, not being in shape, blah, 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 blah. They ruin their career somehow, you know. When I'm talking about a young fighter who has a lot of height, probably led from the, you know, the amateur pedigree. And I don't know, it's like, but this is like, and he may, I don't know, maybe he has problems making weight and all that. I don't know a ton about Gabriel Flores. Ah, man, it's tough, like, because you'd have to at this point kind of, well, not kind of, you'd have to rebuild, you know, you'd have to rebuild. And how many times do they want to put Gabriel Flores in an opener against a no-hoper? You know, you kind of already went through the no-hoper stage, and then you started getting development fights, and then, you know. Once again, the reality of this stuff is there's plenty of fighters that – I mean, do I want to see Abner Mares come back right now? I'm a huge fan of him. I'm not really anticipating it, you know. Now, am I going to be watching? Yeah. And obviously those are two different, you know, bringing up Pascal and bringing up Mares, it doesn't correlate perfectly because, you know, they're old. But it's just one of those things that where you can tell a guy, nah, dude, you shouldn't be doing this, and then all of a sudden he'll get a big win, you know. I think they'd have to move him more laterally than taking, you know, large steps back because, like I said, I mean, unless he wants to fight, you know, deep down on the card, you know, and I don't even know what he gets per fight. And usually when you lose, it can go down if you're not a big, big name. So I don't know. I mean, him and his father do have a decision to make. It's not going to be easy, regardless, whatever he chooses. But, yeah, I mean, you can you can hurt yourself early in your career more than you think, you know? So we'll see where he goes, man. It's, like I said, a couple years back, man, Gabriel Flores was the talk of the town. A lot of hardcore fight fans, a lot of people that I respect were high on him. And yeah, it's, you know, that's just, boxing just got that way of, you know, bringing you down to earth, I guess, right? So the main event, I was fine with the outcome, mostly because of the scorecards. I did have Gonzalez winning the fight, you know, 6-4, 5-4, 1. I could see a 5-5. I could also see Dogbo, you know, I think I tweeted something like, you know, 6-4, 5-4, 1, or 5, wait, yeah, 5-4, 1, 6-4, draw or a close win. And that's what it was for Dogbo. The first four rounds, he fought really well. It's probably his best, the best four rounds up there. Now, I don't think it was just a sweep 4-0, personally. I'm not saying it has to be a 2-2, you know. But I don't think – I thought Gonzalez won one of those, whether it was the fourth round or the second round. Did like Dogbay's jab and him fighting kind of at distance and then kind of getting some work in and then getting back out. I thought that was really interesting. And, you know, we saw him – he even said it after the fight. You know, we've seen him, you know, fall into these brawls so many times in his career. And not that he can fight like this all the time, but I did like what I saw out of that. And it basically was like the only way Joey Gonzalez is going to win this fight is if he brings the pressure, shortens the gap, you know, and lands those short punches. You know, when he did that, he won the round pretty cleanly. And I thought, like I said, the first four rounds, the jab, the overhand right, or the roundhouse right, just pressing. I thought he won the fourth round. The second round, he was pushing forward behind that jab, and then those short punches on the inside. I'm not saying it has to be 2-2, like I said, but I don't think it was 4-0. I know they said that a bunch of times on the broadcast. I think he could have given Gonzalez one of those early rounds, and maybe that's why I had the score the way I did, you know. But I got to give credit to Dogbo. He fought probably about as smart as he's going to do it. You know what I mean? The fifth round was extremely close in my mind. Could have went either way. I did think Gonzalez started picking it up, though. Come the sixth round, I gave the sixth, seventh, eighth, and the ninth. I really thought that, you know, even like in the sixth round, the first part of it, you know, Dogbo landing combinations and then his little exit strategy. But then you saw more of those short punches on the inside, left hooks to the head and body. And he was outlanding him, Gonzalez. And they were better shots, I thought. Hooks to the body, like I said, with both hands. He was also adding uppercuts to the head, into the body a little bit. And, you know, like the, what was that, the seventh round, that was really close. You know, after seven rounds, this thing was 123 to 123 with punches landed. I remember I put that little note in that seventh round, 27 to 25 in favor of Gonzalez, but that was a close, close round. Could have went either way on that one, so it's not like I'm confident with those first four, you know, all four rounds from six to nine, like it's just a done deal. Like the ninth round, you know, I just thought, although Dogbo, you know, ended on a high note, it was a fun round, I still thought the better shots overall were from Gonzalez, and then definitely the 10th round. I definitely gave that to Dogbo. It was competitive, don't get me wrong, but I just thought Dogbo landed those, you know, just landed the better shots. But overall, you know, 197 to 190, Gonzalez, you know, only landed seven more punches than him. 549 to 783, so 36% to 24%. Dog Bay, you know, like threw more punches, which is no big surprise there. This was an active fight, though. I thought the body shots added up, too. And a lot of times when we hear about CompuBox or complaints about CompuBox, it is the body shots, because I've seen many a fight over the years where it doesn't feel like, you know, they're getting full credit. Or maybe the judges are, you know, sometimes it's not CompuBox. And you use CompuBox to say, well, hold on, Gonzalez landed 69 to 39, 30 more body shots. Doesn't that, you know, count for something? And of course it does, because he didn't get blown out or anything like that. But I just think that that's why, I don't know, I thought he won the fight. But of course, 96-94, two for Dog Bay and one for Joette. So that's why I was okay with it. Because it's like, all right, dude, if you're going to give me a legit scoring card, I'm not going to sit here and complain. You know, like I've watched too much damn boxing to complain about something like that, in my mind. I didn't get a chance. I would like to see a rematch. I know this is a title eliminator, but, I mean, do we want to see that fight again with Navarrete? I don't know. In some ways, it seems like they were talking about it like that would be the fight, but I don't know, man. I think the first fight was close. Second fight was like a clear, clear win for Navarrete. Is it Navarrete or Navarrete? Either way, he's got a fight coming up. Who knows? Maybe he'll move to 130. I really don't know. But it was a very, like, it's a good bounce back for Dog Bay. But like I said, I definitely would not be opposed, you know, for Gonzalez to get the rematch. I think it was that good of a fight. And as I mentioned, you know, I think I had him winning. Technically, Cabrera, as far as he goes, this will move him up in the rankings. This will keep his name there. And, you know, what is he, 21-0 now or something like that? He's eventually going to get a shot, you know. He's a little faster, still not as fluid on offense, and he does kind of square up at times. It's kind of like sometimes he'll be a little too tentative looking for too good of a punch, like in the past. I'm not saying in this fight. It's just something I noticed. But that's the one thing about those first four rounds. Speaking of tentative, you know, Joette was tentative. It probably kind of threw him off that Dog Bay was going to fight that way. That probably did. You know what I mean? It probably did. But, yeah, I definitely wouldn't mind a rematch, to be honest with you, because I don't really want to see that third one. Also on the card, the youngster, the 18-year-old, I think, that Abdullah Mason, he got a actually the first rounder right at the bell, right? I think it was right at the bell. Saw that. Then that Antonio Meyerlez, I think it is, that big old dude. He's like 6'8", 6'9", or whatever. You know, he got his real quick. Dante Benjamin scored 3 knockdowns in the first round. Real easy. Stuff I saw. I think that's what I saw. I think that's the only stuff that I saw. There was that. Was there a different heavyweight fight, Stu? What am I thinking? I can't remember what. Anyway, either way, though, like I said, you know, all you can do is draw them up. And sure, the co-feature, you know, wasn't close, you know, as far as the fight goes. But, you know, that was the, technically, on the betting books, that was the tighter fight. So, you know. I enjoyed it. I thought it was a pretty good card. The main event definitely lived up to it, no doubt about it. Yeah, that Chris Billiam Smith and Isaac Chamberlain. You know, it's kind of interesting that Billiam Smith, he was with Matchroom and Eddie Hearn, and he got this big offer, which I guess is starting to happen with Sky Sports a little bit for Matchroom guys, but there are other guys too, Queensberry's as well, Frank Warren's guys that happened recently too. But I just saw an interview saying it's only a one-fight deal. So it's like, huh, okay. Kind of interesting there. But, yeah, that fight with him and Isaac Chamberlain. Chamberlain is a very, very small underdog. I think plus 150 is the highest. And as we know in boxing, plus 150 is not really all that high. You know, it's close to a 50-50. Minus 186. Minus 189 is the highest I see there. So yeah, this is I think it's going to be a good fight. I do think that Chris Billiam Smith will win the fight. That Tommy, he had the, it was Tommy McCarthy, right? Yeah, that was the one where it was a really competitive fight. This was last year, actually. I think it was in the summer, about a year ago. Sorry, cruiserweight fight. But the scorecards, actually, I should check them out. They were really, really close. It was a split decision. Yeah, here we go. 116, 112, 115, 114, and 115, 114. People freaking out about the boxing rec, the display. I like it, but I know what people are saying, like, you got to hit buttons to see, like, I just had to look at those cards. I remember the split decision, but I didn't remember the cards. And then, like, the weights. I mean, it's all right there. I could see, though, when you, like, on your phone, how this could get messed up. Like, the thing wouldn't work or some shit. People are like, what the hell's going on? But he cleanly beat him that second time, Tommy. Billiam Smith, he kind of cleaned that close fight up. I thought he did really good in the rematch. The Isaac Chamberlain, this was a little while ago now, I think. Yeah, 2018. Let me check really quick. Yeah, February 2018, he did drop a 10-round decision to Lawrence Coley. But, you know, I mean, I remember this fight. It was a while ago. I don't know if it was 89 or 98-89, but 96-90, 97-89, because Chamberlain went down in the first round. Yeah, that's right. And then he got dropped in the sixth round as well. I forgot. He did have a point deducted as well. This one to me is like a 50-50. I'm picking Billiam Smith, but I'm kind of lost on, you know, who's going to win this fight, because neither of them have, you know, one of them stepped all the way up and got beat pretty cleanly. But it was competitive. It wasn't like all, you know, wasn't all bad. And then you also have that, you know, you do have that loss from a while ago now on Billiam Smith's record as well. So, and that was to an unbeaten prospect. It was kind of a funky name. I don't really remember his name too well. But like I said, this one to me is just, it's competitive as hell. I mean, I'm looking forward to it, man. I think it's going to be a good. So, yeah, I'm going to go by decision. Yeah, it was Richard. He's still undefeated. Jorge? I don't remember. I don't know how to say his name. He fought like Jack Massey. I actually think I did believe. I believe I watched that fight. Yep, I did see that one. Yeah, I saw that Jack Massey after that. Yeah, I do remember that. That was competitive. That was a competitive fight. I'm looking at it right now. Yep, that was competitive. He took care of McCarthy like no problem. Yeah, it'll be interesting fight, man. I'm definitely looking forward to that one. Far as like, you know. Do we have any words here? Yeah, I don't see it listed. Sky Sports, hopefully ESPN Plus picks it up, but it may be one of those where you're just going to have to find it after. At least personally, that's what I'll probably do. I don't tell people, you know, not to live stream, but or illegal stream. But then again, if there's, you know, it's not like a pay-per-view. So if there's no outlet, then what are you going to do? You know what I mean? What are you going to do? That's the Showtime triple header. Like I mentioned, you know, Danny Garcia gets back on the horse again. I don't know. I mean, I'm not really calling this like some kind of great matchup or, oh, man, this is a banger. I mean, it probably will be a banger as far as the actual action. And from, what was this, like November or December, he did have a majority draw. And he fought like at 158. I actually got a message, someone saying that, you know, Benavidez was actually a 140 pounder and all that. And, you know, he went up and all that. But he fought over 154 more than once. I mean, his last time out, he was 158 and 3/4. But he had some other fights that were above 154 in his career. And to be fair, like, here's a 152 from 2015, blah, blah, blah. You know, to be fair, like I was going to finish that. He fought Marisa Herrera at 140 as Jorge Paez Jr. He did as well. But he, you know, on the way up, he actually did have some fights because sometimes you don't, you know, you don't weigh in at the actual weight when you're coming up. Like the exact weight, he was, you know, 140, a fair amount. He definitely did, but you know, he does have some fights that were a little over that. But that's the thing. Yeah, he did start at 140, and he fought Terrence Crawford a while ago now, you know, at welterweight. But that's my point. I mean, let's not act like Danny, you know, has like. I mean, who's he fought at? You know, he hasn't fought anybody above that either. So I don't know. To me, it's like, that's kind of what I think is, I guess you could say more even when it comes to this, is they're both not necessarily one, you know, 54-pounders. Danny has been going with the line, and we'll see if it, you know, makes sense about him not having to cut weight and him being able to spar more and, you know, having camps not all about weight and stuff like that, not all about it, but you know what I mean? A lot of times they say it, and sometimes it's just like, yeah, I mean, I'm sure it felt better, no doubt, and mentally I can help you a lot, but, and physically obviously too, but, you know, we got to see it. We got to see it to believe it. And like I said, Jose fought at over 54 his last fight. Now, he had a draw, but he did fight over almost 160. So, the one thing I'll say about 54 is, you know, when he fought Thurman, not Thurman right now per se, but when he fought Thurman, Porter, Spence, some of these guys are elite. And, you know, the top 10 comparatively, top 10 or top 5, whatever, at 54 compared to, you know, 47, it's not really all that great of a comparison, right? Because, so, maybe that also gives him a little bit more confidence, and maybe he'll feel like, well, you know, Matisse and Khan weren't as talented as those guys I mentioned, and he obviously was an underdog at 140 and knocked off both those guys, but maybe that'll work in his favor. And, you know, maybe this 54 will work out. We could also see a really rusty, mediocre, lethargic fight from both of them. You never know. I mean, at least he did get a fight in there. But yeah, Benavidez, you know, he's a good fighter. He's always been solid. Obviously, he had, you know, the leg thing always comes up, you know, getting shot in the leg and you know, his outside of the ring stuff. You know, he almost made it 12 rounds. Yeah, he almost made it 12 rounds with Terrence Crawford. But I don't know, like I mentioned, for the fight, what did one scorecard, let me see, 107, 102, 108, 101. 107, 102. 12th round. Yeah, because Benavidez got, that's right, he got knocked down in that round. And that's right, I do remember that. God, that was already 2018. And that's the thing, man, you're off for 3 years. And then Francisco Torres, you know. So that's why I'm not sitting here calling it some kind of, oh, this is a great matchup. You know, I mean, he's got, like I just mentioned, Mauricio Herrera, Francisco Santana. But you go back and revisit that fight, I don't think he won that fight, to be honest. I thought Francisco Santana beat him. I thought he beat him. I remember that fight. You could even say that about Herrera, maybe. I'm trying to score that in my head again. How did I score it? But I just think it's a good opponent with a good record. You know what I mean? Guy that probably shouldn't be at 54 as well. And so that's why I don't think he doesn't have a major advantage against them. But yeah, I got Danny Garcia winning. Will he win by knockout? Got a chance to. But that's the thing, like, and I know people, I've already just got a message from saying, you know, this is going to help him, this weight, and I get that, but, you know, he took his time to go to 147. Remember, he did it in a couple fights, Lamont, Pauly, and then, who did he, was it Guerrero? Did he get the full title from, or whatever, the WBC at 47, the full 47? So, I don't know, man. Like, my thing is, he had legit punching power at 147. Can't take that away from him. You can't. However, it's like, clearly, it wasn't as powerful. He wasn't as powerful at 147. Now, everyone that fights him says, damn, that dude hits hard. It just hurts, you know? But he wasn't hurting people left and right. He wasn't landing the same punches, you know what I mean? And part of that is the elite guys he was facing. Now, you could say maybe that Granados fight where it was like, I mean, Granados at 47 is not as good at 140 anyway. Let's put that out there. But I did actually think that would be a tougher fight, and he walked through him, you know? So that's the thing. At 154, like I said, the top 15 comparatively, especially a few years ago at welterweight where those guys were more in their prime, I could see his mind going, I can beat these dudes. They're not as good as the elite guys I faced. They're more like the 140-pounders. And I get that he'll be healthy and full of energy and all that and won't have to cut that extra weight, so therefore he'll have more power. I get it. But it's just hard to think that's going to be the case if his power wasn't the same at 47. It's like right now, Jermall Charlo, right? 154, that dude could punch. Whew, that boy could punch at 154. However, at 160, he can still punch. Don't get me wrong. He's got plenty of pop, all that good stuff, but is it as powerful? Now, if he goes to 68, you know what I mean? So, I don't know. I have my doubts about that, but we'll talk about Danny, about who he wants to fight a little bit later in the fight news stuff. But, yeah, I think it is what it is. It's going to draw a good crowd. And, you know, for Danny, how he sells tickets at the Barclays. So that part's cool. Of course, you got Mexicano and Puerto Rican fighter, right? With Benavides and Garcia, so that's kind of cool. And then Koznoski will, by the way, there'll be some Polish folks in there. And that's, there's two other fights that I'll talk about. But, you know, I actually, on paper, I don't think it'll actually be, what's that term, the slobber knocker? I actually don't really think it'll be a slobber knocker. Although I have to say, most fights that he's in are that, Koznoski, right? I do remember, man, already 3 years since that Pacquiao-Thurman fight. Wow. But anyway, the reason why I brought that up, because Efe and his opponent, Ali, what is it, Demirzen? He fought what I thought was a good, he put in a good test. I was more on board with the Weisfeld card than the 90. I was kind of in between the 99, 91, and 97, 93, which I guess that would be 98, 92. No, but I thought he put in a good test for him. And, you know, since then he dropped that, but he did get a decent win over that Nicolo guy. And that Gerald Washington fight, I forgot about that, yep. And that was a competitive fight on the cards. That's right, because that was one of that heavyweight card that still, although it won't count, right, we all know, we said it then, and it's still holding today, that heavyweight Fox PBC pay-per-view, because it was a pay-per-view, it won't count. They won't count that card for the card of the year right now. Because it cost us $40 or whatever it was. But you know what? Like, that's still the best card of the year. I know that people are going to push back on that, and that's fine. And if you didn't, you know, if you didn't watch the fight, cool, no problem. But facts are facts, and that really was. I forgot about that Gerald Washington fight. And then he just fought Kevin Johnson, which I completely forgot. He literally just in May did. So he got a nice little 8 rounds in there. So, you know, I haven't seen the odds on this. I'm going to favor Ali. I'm going to go with Demirzen. I mean, I'm going to go with him. I just think that, you know, I mean, he's a different fighter than, say, well, Hellenius, right, who just beat him back-to-back. That just bookended the pandemic for him, too, because that was the last card. And then he did it last year, late in the year. Man, he had that large gap. Anyway, I'm over here talking about it. But I do think it's going to be a fun-ass fight. I think, Koznoski is just barely in a bad fight. I mean, let's be honest about it. So, and like I said, the crowd will be, you know, cheering for him. You know, they're going to come out to an extent. Even though they've seen their guy go down twice back-to-back, they're still going to be, you know, they're going to go to the Polish flags. That's just how it goes. Shouts out to the Polish fans. And now for the opener, which I really like this as a fight. Once again, 15-0, 15 knockouts, but 15 fights, your 16th fight. Let's keep that, you know, on our minds with Gary Antoine Russell. Okay, and that's another thing. He didn't really fight much of anybody until he, last year, like in May, pulled that upset against Santiago. And all of a sudden, it's like, hey, damn, who's this? You know what I mean? Like, oh, shit. And then his last fight, you know, Postal's not, you know, he's not in his prime anymore. And they probably did need to stop that fight, if I recall, because it was TKO, I believe, in the last round. But, I mean, the aggressiveness from Gary Antoine Russell combined with the accurate punching, you know, the short inside punching, sometimes he just really swings for the fences. Like, he is a pressure fighter through and through, but he does have, like, does have skills. He has fundamentals. He does have a pretty good guard. You know what I mean? He doesn't just, I mean, Postal will make it pay. You saw him, shit, just against Ramirez. You saw him a while back now, but you saw him against Taylor. I mean, some people thought that Postal beat Ramirez. I personally didn't. I thought Ramirez pulled it off. But, I mean, that was a close fight. And I think back-to-back fights now, Rancis Bartholomew, 29-1-1. He had that split decision draw in 2019 that, people say on record that's the worst fight I've ever seen in that type of thing. And don't get me wrong, I didn't think it was super exciting. I did think that I thought Relic beat him the first time and then clearly beat him the second time. We saw that. I mean, that was wide. It was a wide score. But I remember scoring that for him. He beat Mickey Bay, Denis Shabakov, which at that time, Shabakov was pretty damn good, and he cleanly beat him. Antonio DeMarco, I remember that fight. The Mendez is the one I was talking about. That was all the way back in January, man. It must have been cold that day. Up north here. That's right, January the 3rd, 2014. Mendez was down twice, and it was called a no decision because, like I said, he was over-aggressive because he hit his ass extra. And then, in the rematch, he pretty much won the fight pretty cleanly, knocked him down, I believe, a couple times. I mean, he'll get dirty with you. Like I said, he knows how to spoil fights. The last dude, I don't remember seeing that fight. I did see that Riviera fight. He cleanly beat that guy. But I think the style, the length, 5'10", 72, I believe. Is it 72 or 73? He's got pretty long arms, Bartholomew. The know-how, I do think that Gary Antoine Russell is going to get something out of this fight. Now, I favor him. I'm not going to call for a TKO. I think he'll beat him like, let's say 8-4 or something like that. Probably. Well, no. Let me take that back. I'll say like 9-3. Anywhere from, I mean, he could tend it to him, maybe. But I wouldn't be shocked if it got a little, well, not dicey, but competitive. Like dicey for him. Like I mentioned, there's just something about going against guys that can take away what you do well. And what, Antoine Russell does is bring that heat. He brings the pressure. He's there to knock you out. Like I said, I don't know if I'm calling for a knockout. I know he's knocked out everybody. Like I said, I don't – the Postal fight was over, but he probably shouldn't have – they probably shouldn't have called it. You know what I mean? Or they shouldn't have. But – I do like this development fight. I like how they're moving him of late. I think these are the fights he needs, and these guys are good fights. Like, Bartholomew's not, I mean, yeah, we know he's been in boring fights. Opponent for him, like I said, at the age, that's how you judge all these fights, right? You judge them at where they at, you know what I mean? And I believe this is a good development fight, and 140 is about to pop off. With Taylor, even if he does one more fight or not, he's going to pop off. The belts are going to come loose. And, I'm pretty excited about this 140. It's just another reboot. And I remember Regis Progress, that'll be during the Twitter segment. He had a pretty funny tweet, because he's had a weird stage of his career right now, and it hasn't been an ideal run for him, but hopefully he can really, he wants to stay at this weight class. I know he's, missed at least once. Missed it twice? I can't remember now, but hopefully he gets the big shots. By the way, DAZN has a Thursday night card at the Fantasy Springs Resort and Casino in Indio, California. That always looks like a great venue. At some point I want to see that. Gonzalez and Angulo is the main event. And then Manuel Gucci Manny Flores is the co-feature. 12-0, 9 KOs. So, yeah, that's kind of a cool little Thursday night, you know. Got to like the Thursday night. Channel 5 in the UK from Newcastle, Josh Kelly, Machine Gun Kelly. No, Josh Kelly and Lucas Bastia. Bastia? I definitely think Kelly will win that fight. That's on Channel 5 over there, huh? Very interesting. I don't think – that's not really a close matchup, though, right? I don't believe so. So that's about it for the weekend. Preview and predictions, like I said, I've kind of just – I started this show. It's almost midnight Central Time. I started the show a little late. Had a long-ass day and just wanted to get some content out before I go on vacation. And now we'll get into some of this fight news stuff here. As I mentioned before, the WBA, stuff with, oh yeah, well, there's a couple of them actually, think about it. The WBA, obviously, like I mentioned, stopped, the unification, and a lot of people, this is why belts are like, who gives a shit, but in the same breath, it's like, so there's always a complaint you can have. And like I said, if the WBA would have said, we are going to okay this fight, I wouldn't have been pissed. First of all, I think it's a better fight. I think Ray Vargas is a better fighter, personally, my own opinion. But I like Lee Wood. I like this fight, too. But remember, just by rules, stupid-ass sanctity belt rules, but the reason why, and it's bullshit, it is bullshit, but the reason why Leo Santa Cruz was able to fucking slough off the WBA, or WBA belt is because he was the super champ. When you're the super champ, in fact, who's the fighter? Keith Thurman. Keith Thurman, because he was, remember when he was calling out everybody, including Floyd Mayweather? And he saw all the, so the super, remember him saying that, I need to be the super WBA. That way I don't have any mandatories, really. You know, once in a while they'll call him, like Jacobs and Golovkin. I believe that was a double title there. So they'll call him. Obviously, they're calling him more now. But that's why. That's why. Because it's basically the franchise champ, in a sense, like the WBC. So when you're the super champ, a lot of times you don't have a mandatory, period. You can get mad at it and call it a fucking joke, which it is, but you shouldn't sit there and bang your head on a wall, especially if you're like just this pro Lee Wood or pro UK fight fan where it's just like, this is bullshit. Like, I'm putting my foot in the ground for this individual. This is where it all stops. The belts suck and this sucks, you know? And I think it's because it's funny. It's like we can pick and choose all day when you get mad at sanctioned belts, man. You know what I mean? So it's just, but that's why they allowed him to fucking have that belt so damn long without defending it, because he didn't have any mandatories. That's why. It's not like, well, because he's a chicken and I'm seeing all these, oh, Santa Cruz is a coward, dude, you know? It's like, dude, just because you like Leah Wood doesn't mean you got to fucking call other fighters a coward, dude. It's just stupid. And then, oh, he's got 24 hours. There's no way he's going to take the fight. There's no way. Oh, I'm taking the fight. Now, you know, one thing I'll say, who knows what actually happens, right? But he has indicated that he will accept it. Be like he'll dip and take on Vargas. That could be. I wouldn't call him a quote-unquote, you know, pussy or, you know, a coward for doing that. What, for taking a tougher fight? Because that's what I believe it would be. But Jake Donovan made a great point that the split 75-25, and I don't be surprised if Matchroom comes back and tries to tweak that. But wasn't that the thing that they were waiting for? Well, they were waiting to just make the decision for the WBA. But yeah, right now, as it stands, it's 75-25, what, 60-40 or 55-45? At max, so if Matchroom does put up a bunch of money, well, that's going to bode well for. So I'm happy either way on that one. I'm very happy either way on that one. I think that's great. I think that's phenomenal. It's a good fight. It'll be interesting to see who puts up the money to get it. Who outbids who. On the surface, kind of when I first thought about it before I knew the split, I did kind of think that, well, maybe Eddie will fork out the money, you know? But then again, it's like, man, when your guy's 25 and 75, it's like, I don't know. The money you're going to, basically the money they're going to probably offer Wood to get that same amount of money on the purse bid. And then you got to say, well, how much money do I have to, you know, how much money is Leo Santa Cruz going to get for the fight? I'm not saying, oh, he's going to get $8 million or, you know, nothing like that. But he's going to get some money. And so I don't know. I mean, like some sizable money is what I mean. This fight will probably, I have a feeling it's going to happen in America just because of that. Now, a lot of people, I'm sure, I'll get some messages saying, you know, the reason why it will happen is because, you know, he didn't travel for France. That's true. He didn't go there. He didn't do the trilogy and whatnot. But, you know, if he was a coward, why would he get in the ring with Gervonta Davis? Does that look fun to fight Gervonta when he punches you like that? But no, he's not a coward. We got to stop that, guys. I'm not just trying to come to Leo Santa Cruz's, to his, you know, side and be like, no, man, he's a great fighter. He's better than everybody. You know, I'm not saying that. I would have loved to see him against Gary Russell, you know. But to call him a coward when he got in the ring with Gervonta, it's like, are you positive about that? Are you sure? So, either way, I have a feeling based off of having to, I just think that they're working on it. They've probably already been negotiating a little bit. And it'll be really interesting to see this. PVC and Matchroom. Like, can we get this fight across the fucking line? And will they just say, fuck it, let's agree, we're going to go over there? Or will Eddie really put out the big bucks, which he's going to have to, because he's going to have to pay Leo. And to get, you know, I don't know, maybe they'll say, I'll put out this money and you get the 25%, but I'll get you more money, you know, on the back end of it or whatever. It could be. I guess that is a possibility. Let me get to some more fight news before I go over that Espinoza-Oscar stuff. Pedraza and Comey, 10-rounder, April 27th at the Hard Rock Hotel Casino in Tulsa. Sometimes Tulsa will have a. Isn't that where they do the? Isn't that where they do that Main Street fight where they put it right on Main Street? Maybe it's just Oklahoma, someplace else. Maybe I'm tripping. But yeah, that's a. It'll be interesting to see what Comey has left in that fight, to be honest with you. But Jared Anderson is on that. He's the co-feature, I believe. So that's pretty cool. I like that. This is what I was talking about earlier. Buatsi and Pascal. Joshua Buatsi, Sean Pascal, IBF formally orders light heavyweight title eliminator. So Boxing Scene has confirmed the IBF formally ordered the shit. Two sides will be granted free negotiation period to work out the terms for such a fight to determine the IBF challenger to lineal and unified lightweight Peter Bf. For right now, Buatsi would be 60%. He would get the 60-40. He would get the 60 part of that. Oh, this is what I was talking about, Danny Garcia. Danny Garcia, this is from Fight Hype. Danny Garcia, dead serious, warning to Arislandi Lara to accept the middleweight title shot at 155. I wonder if that's going to happen. Rumorville, okay, well, actually, this is still kind of a rumor, but it seems like it's pretty set. This is Keith Eidick, Boxing Scene. Haney Cambosa's rematch set for October 16th which technically is actually October 15th here, at Rod Laver Arena in Melbourne, which is obviously where the Australian Open is. It sounds like ESPN will televise it, which is no big, you know, different there. And then Fox over there will be pay-per-view. And that Rod Laver is like, it sounds like it's like 16 or 17,000. I know, I think it's like 20,000 for fights or for tennis, but this is what they're talking about here. And Bob said, we're still working on it. And he also said it kind of matters, like, they're kind of seeing how much the government's going to give them again. So we'll see how that works out. But if you look at the fall date, that October 16th, technically up to October 15th here in the States, there's a great chance that's behind college football. So sign me up for that, because that October college football game, if you look at it, October, November, it generally gets a healthy-ass rating. And, you know, don't get me wrong, the first one got a nice rating. But this would be a really great opportunity for Devin Haney, and obviously Gambo's too, if you were able to, you know, knock down Haney or some shit like that. But this is a hell of a – I'm not calling – well, I mean, the way the fight – how many rounds did you get Gambo's in that fight? So when I say showcase, I'm not trying to disrespect him. But – showcasing your skill. It's going to be a big window. I mean, that's going to be a big rating. And I know a lot of people didn't like that it wasn't a two-way fight. They thought Haney should go for the knockout more and all that. We'll see if he ups it up a little bit. He could apply a little bit more urgency to try to hurt and stop him. And maybe he gets caught during that in two or three more competitive rounds than we were used to. You know, or not used to, but, you know, it's seen in the first fight. Who knows? But anyway, it'd be nice to just get that fight over. And I know now everyone's like, oh, this is horrible and this is garbage. But it's like, dude, you already fucking knew this was going to happen. Like, it is what it is, dude. It is what it is. You know, should Haney have to sign a contract where he has to sign a, where it's a one-way rematch clause? Does that suck for Bach? Yeah, that sucks, dude, but this is the reality of it, man. I already see, like, this is the most worthless fight. Dude, I hear you, but, you know, and I'm not going to use the example of, well, that's what they said about Fury and Wilder, and look how that turned out, because, you know, I just think that's different, you know, because Wilder, if he hits, well, he came out with his jab for one thing, and jabbed at the body, so that helped him early. But we know he's got that fight changer, or at least round changer. But yeah, I mean, we already know it. So that's, like I said, just pounding your fucking head on a cement wall is basically what you're doing if you're gonna just from now until October complain about the Gambosis Haney fight. I got an idea: boycott the fucking thing. Just don't watch it. You know, there'll be other college football games that night. Watch college football. Maybe there'll be another fight. In fact, a date, October 15th, funny enough. Was it, I can't remember if it was Durrell. Was it Durrell's Instagram? Anyway, October 15th was floated out there as a date for Anthony Durrell and Caleb Plant. Which would be, I wonder, like, what network that is. Is that going to be, like, this PBC O Fox 4 pay-per-views, and that'll be the fourth one? I don't know. I hope that's not on pay-per-view. Do they think, well, off the back of doing that healthy-ass buy, we're going to sneak in and try to get some buys? I don't know. I have no clue. We are starting to hear, like, we already saw that date, that potential January date that Jermell Charlo for Tim Tszyu, you know, Charlo put that out and then edited the post. Or did he delete it and redo it? I don't remember. Can you edit on Instagram? I'm not on Instagram, actually. I don't post on Instagram. So my point for bringing that up is is this the makings of a PBC schedule that's coming out? Is it Showtime? Is it Fox? Is it Showtime plus other stuff? What gives, basically? Are we going to get another 5-month release, you know, in the month of August? Are we going to get, you know, a big release of fights and stuff like that, like Showtime likes to do? And the reason why I keep bringing this up is because, well, you know, the fall's coming on here, knock on wood, somewhat soon, and usually, you know, this week and then the next few weeks, we're going to get more and more September and October and that type of thing filled up. But also, we have never heard that Showtime and the PBC have a new deal. Remember they had, what, a 3-year or 4-year deal? I can't remember if it was a 4-year deal or what. I think it's a 4-year deal. Do the math, that would be, you know, they're obviously, whether they've already figured one out or they're renegotiating or they're negotiating, whatever. But is this, like I mentioned a couple weeks ago, clearly there's some PBC fighters that need to fight and there's not enough dates right now. That's clear. And that's obvious because Fox hasn't done any FS1s basically this year, right? And they did, part of that deal was 12 a year. And obviously there hasn't been as many Foxes either. There's been, what, 2 Foxes so far with 2 pay-per-views, right? So that's where I'm wondering. You know, I'm wondering. And like I said, it could be Showtime and whatever. I'm just throwing stuff up against the wall. Paramount Plus, maybe there's a deal there to be had. Maybe CBS Sports, because CBS and Showtime, you know, CBS Sports, they don't have a ton of content on there. That would be good for them. So, I don't know. By the way, according to Jake Donovan, well, according to the WBO, I suppose, this is off a tweet of him in an article, Janovic and Andre, the WBO has formally reordered a 30-day negotiation period, and it sounds like Andre, represented by Salida Promotion, is in talks. But we'll get to Andre in just a second, because he was trying to get, and I get why he's doing it, but he's trying to get the fight, he's trying to get a different fight, and Chris Eubank Jr., but there's this audio of him in this video on Fight Hype, I believe. I think it was a post of his, but I don't know. I don't know if he was on one or what, but I like that fight a lot, you know? And it is probably, he would get more money off of it, likely, right? But I don't know, man. The way he was talking, it's like for him to be like, I don't know. We'll get into that. We'll get into that. Juan Francisco Estrada will reportedly vacate his WBA title rather than defend it against Joshua Franco. This is off a bad left hook. Shouts out to them. Instead, he's going to elect to face Jonathan Rodriguez on August 27th and then go ahead with the planned Chocolatito trilogy. So I'm not totally mad at that. Miguel Cotto Promotions and ProBox TV, that new app, they partnered up on a monthly series in Puerto Rico. Boxing scene has learned that Puerto Rican icon, promotional company, and ProBox have reached a deal. So to produce monthly shows in 2023, the company's first will work together on 3 shows before the end of 2022, and the first one is August 9th, are scheduled for October 26th, and then part of the WBO annual convention, December 9th. So we'll see how those go. Oh, by the way, Oscar De La Hoya, last week, we talked about how he said that Eddie Hearn does not promote Dimitri Bivol, that he's only in talks with his manager, but he doesn't have a promoter. On the DAZN Boxing Show, Eddie Hearn has confirmed Dimitri Bivol is still under contract with Matchroom. So, you know. Oh, the other WB thing of note was Golovkin. Golovkin will reportedly have to defend his WBA super middleweight world title against regular champion. Hence the reason why this never got called, because of the super. Arislandi Lara within 120 days. If he returns to 160 after facing Canelo on September 17th. So my guess is Golovkin's probably not going to give two shits about that fight. He's going to get a big payday. He probably won't want to turn around and fight somebody, go back down to 168, you know, although, or sorry, 160. And although I'd say a really tricky style, Lara of late has been going the opposite way, if we're being honest, you know what I'm saying? So we'll see how that goes. Another one, speaking of Arislandi Lara, Thurman is considering a catchweight to fight Lara. He actually said to Jake Donovan that he expects to return this October. If the right fight manifests in the upper division, I will consider it. It's funny. All this time, I thought Arislandi Lara was still 154 division until someone explained to me he's 160. We haven't seen many fighters in history move from 147 to 160, and we're successful taking on the historical challenges. It entices me a little bit more. So, but it sounds like October. That's what it sounds like. We know he's towards his end of his career, Arislandi Lara. I'm not saying his next fight will be his last one, but he definitely wants to call it a name. He's someone I've known for years, admires boxing skills, yada, yada, yada. So I do want Lara to get a big fight, dude, because he's been fighting just a really poor schedule. I've gone over it multiple times. It's like, Ooh, Joshua Parker versus Otto Wallen is exploring by Boxers Shalom. That's the boxing. This is from Boxing Scene. Ben Shalom would like that fight. We are still hopeful of Dillian White rematch, Joe Joyce fight for him, but we've had an offer for him to fight Otto Wallen. I like that fight. Parker and Wallen signed me up. This is for a vacant British heavyweight. Shout out to the UK. This is two heavyweight. These two heavyweights will battle for the title vacated by Joe Joyce. Wardley and Gorman. Wardley and Gorman. That's an interesting matchup over there. I don't mind it at all. This is Ryan Garcia and Floyd Mayweather supporting Canelo in their feud. They need the Avengers to stop me. They need the Avengers to stop me from talking. It could be Floyd. It could be Canelo throwing all the goats. They need them all. They can't stop me. Boy, he is real happy about himself lately, isn't he? But, hey, do your thing, man. Do your thing, dude. Like, I know I wouldn't you. He says, Ryan Garcia. Oh, by the way, we'll get into this stuff now, okay? So Ryan Garcia, credit to him on this one. Remember, he said, oh, it's got to be 140. And tonight I was going to play some audio of him saying Loma fight, because he's going to save the Haney fight for obvious reasons. But he said, because he's not big enough, he says, and that's why he wants Tank. But he talked about the Lomachenko fight. He talked about, well, I could be the only guy that knocks out Kambosos. He mentioned guys that are 135-pounders. You know, remember with Loma and Pacquiao years ago, threw Pacquiao's name to Lomo's people, and they said, no, we're not going to 140. So it's kind of funky when he's naming all these guys. He's like, dude, this division is awesome. And this is after the fight, by the way. It's not fight week. He's talking about how awesome the division is. But then he's talking about, well, I have to be at 140. You know, so Charlie's kind of weird. But I give him credit here. Ryan Garcia, because Floyd Mayweather said, no, this is going to be at 135, period. And this is Ryan Garcia. He said, it's any weight, any time, any place. There's your answer, Floyd. Oh, yeah, you can get it. Oh, yeah, you can get it, too, if you want. Let's hear the excuse now. So kind of interesting there. Now, someone that stayed more quiet has been Gervonta Davis. And he's more, you know, he wants to stay quiet before, you know, and get the deal done. He says, I have been going back and forth with Ryan Garcia, really, because we all know he's not a man of his word, but I know it's a possibility of this fight happening, so I'd rather stay quiet till the deal is locked. Nothing means anything now. Yeah, we can make it happen, to say the least. It's already locked in if people do what's right, you know? So that's basically saying, hey, on the A side, if you want the fight, you got to come here. That's basically what that's saying. So I do like the stay quiet thing, you know, for me, I'm always like that, but I also do like what Garcia said, and it's like, all right, forget that 140, it's 135. This is what ProGrace said, this is what he tweeted. I'm so glad I stayed at 140. A few years ago, I felt it would be the most loaded division in boxing. Now it's starting to materialize. In the next 2 years, things are going to get real started heating up. You might even have a Four Kings type of situation. Save this tweet. Well, I'll tell you what, ever since he lost that fight to Taylor, which, by the way, obviously, as we know, was super competitive, you know, he missed weight. He fought, you know, a no-hoper. It is what it is. You know, he fought. I understand why he took the deal with ProBellum, but you know, I don't know where he's with that one. So I just hope he gets his career back going. But, yeah, I mean, it sounded like he was going to sign some sort of options with PBC. And sometimes when your first, you know, when your first fight with them, you don't make weight. Maybe that, you know, and maybe he was trying to have more at 147 than 140 because he said, I wanted a belt at 140. It didn't go up to 47. But now it does look like he's got his diet down, too. So hopefully ProGrace can get in there and bang with the best of them at 140 because he is right. There's going to be guys coming up. Teofimo, as we know, is going to fight here against Campa or whatever. So let's hope. Now, as far as there's been a variety of talk, okay? Now, Chris Mannix is a biased DAZN broadcaster, as we know, and he's always been anti-PBC in Al Haymon, always. I mean, there's just no way around it. The guy will still look, well, where's the investment money? But then he won't turn around and say, well, how much money has DAZN lost? I mean, if you don't care, then you don't care. Cool, then don't care then, either way. But here's what he says. As I understand it, both fighters have deals with their networks. So walking away, switching at this point is impossible. And again, joint pay-per-views, when two sides are motivated, are very doable. My hope is that both fighters push hard to make it happen. And the motivated part, of course, is doable. It's, you know, when we talk about this, when I talk about this subject, it's not that they're not doable. But once again, we're talking realistic. I hope that they do that. You know, we've gotten these minor little, like if we could get that Lee Rudd and Santa Cruz, that would be a match from PBC fight. We just got, although it wasn't much in the ring, but Javier Fortuna, you know, Hector Garcia, who just beat a Haymon. Guy's about to fight Rodrigo Guerrero. He's a Golden Boy fighter. It's going to be on Showtime. So hopefully we get more of this stuff. You know what I mean? And usually it comes down to when a fight just needs to happen, or it's like, well, he's going to be your mandatory anyway, or the scenario, you know, with the belts and all that type of thing. Or it's just like, well, this guy's a good B-side for you here. You can have that. That's cool. That'll work. You know, that's usually what it is. Or just the big, big fights. And don't get me wrong. This is a big, big fight. It's just the DAZN thing, you know, whatever. Anyway, he says, and then he reiterates, as far as Ryan goes, according to DAZN, he has a deal with him. And that's something, you know, Garcia hasn't said that. And I don't know. You know, I'm not going to sit here and act like I know exactly what the deal is. Because, you know, taking it from Mannix's side, like, oh, I'll just listen to Mannix. You know, But you could say the same about Oscar. You know, you could say the same thing about Oscar in this scenario, okay? But there is some audio that I'm going to play. And by the way, I'm going to play the Espinosa, so calm down. Take a deep breath. I'll play it. But this is a clarification. Now, it doesn't mean it's factual, but this is out of the horse's mouth, okay? Because, like I said, I've never heard Ryan Garcia say he has a deal with DAZN. And as we know, Canelo didn't know that Oscar and Golden Boy had signed an agreement, a different agreement with DAZN, and signed a different agreement on the same topic, and that had to do with opponents, finalizing opponents. So that's what that whole lawsuit was about, you know, and that's why he's no longer with Golden Boy. That's what it alleged, but they dropped the shit real quick, didn't they? I mean, he got out of his deal, didn't he? So obviously there had to have been some truth to that. That's my opinion. They didn't ever play it out in court, but that kind of tells me something right there. So here's Oscar talking about the deal. He just, when that gets brought up, and this is Fight Hype, but it's also, you can hear it's Fight Hub asking the question.
Question for you, Oscar. One, in terms of this fight, I read a thing that Ryan has contract with you guys and not with the DAZN. So how do you guys navigate the recap fight with the Bonza?
No, look, we promote Ryan and we have a contract with the DAZN. That's the bottom line.
So then how does the...
So we heard it. I'm going to play it again, okay? This is what Oscar De La Hoya said after the fight, the latest fight.
No, look, we promote Ryan and we have a contract with DAZN. That's the bottom line.
So that's what he said. Now, in the interview, he wasn't asked again, but does Ryan Garcia? So he wasn't followed up with that question, but it was in the question. Ryan doesn't have a deal with DAZN, but Golden Boy does. And that's exactly what Oscar said. He said, no, we have a deal. We have a deal, and we promote Ryan. And as we know, you can be put on the shelf as a promoter. If they don't, you know, if you want to fight some, you don't want to do the fights they want you to do, they can put you on the shelf. So that's just the horse's mouth. This is after the fight. This is after the Mannix side saying he talked to DAZN and Ryan has a deal with them. Ryan's never said it publicly. It is kind of shaky where you're like, well, hold on. If you have a deal with them and your promoter's saying it has to be DAZN, wouldn't you be following suit? You know? So I this is going to be funky. And I think we will find out. I think it'll be a little bit, but I think we will find now. The combi box dude. This is what one of the top guys, Mr. Joe Markowski, I think it is. Let me get to the tweet here. So he says, and this is kind of a funny thing, but he says we don't do our business publicly. Never have, which you mean you? And that's not true either, but we know Eddie fucking is Mr. Public, and so is Oscar. So it's really fucking stupid to say that, but whatever. It's Twitter, so, you know, people say stupid shit, I have. But he says, we don't do our business publicly, because I'm about to play the clip of Espinosa talking. He says, never have, but in this case, an exception. He says, Espinosa, respectfully, you are incorrect on this point, but per my emails, call or email back and let's discuss. Which is kind of like, do you have his number? Because you should probably just text him this shit then. You know, if you actually don't do it publicly. But, you know, kind of opens up stuff. But this is what Espinosa was saying to the copy box dude about making this fight. And he was making a point. The PBC fighters didn't have a deal with Showtime, and so they went directly to the fighters, sometimes not even the management, right to the fighters, but the management, fighters, whatever, besides Al, wasn't always sent to him, or you know, whatever. It's kind of vague because Eddie will just say, well, I emailed or I DM'd Charlo something. You know what I mean? But this is what he said. This is what I was trying. I was going to play at the end of last week, but I got cut off. This is Espinoza in an interview talking about it.
Ryan Garcia is not exclusive to the zone. I know Golden Boy is. But the reality is, it's an interesting and ironic change of events. They spent 3 years trying to go around us to get to every fighter that we have. Now all of a sudden they figured out, hey, let's go to them.
So that part is factual. That's a fact. They did go to Showtime to talk about joint stuff. They went right to them, or they went right to the fighters. So we're just going to keep up with that. Take a little pause.
We need two platforms in this. I don't. I think there are plenty of other ways that are fair to resolve this. You just said something interesting there. You said 3 years trying to go around us to get to every fighter that we have. Now all of a sudden they figured out, hey, let's go to them. I don't think we need two platforms in this. I don't. I think there are plenty of other ways that are fair to resolve this. You just said something interesting there. You said that Ryan Garcia isn't with the zone contractually, or is it that the Golden Boy's understanding it? You know, Golden Boy has a deal with his zone. I don't think Ryan Garcia personally has a deal with the zone. I don't. You know, I'm not the expert on, you know, on sort of that aspect of it. But, you know, it's not as if they signed Ryan Garcia to an exclusive contract. I mean, the zone repeated.
And that's the one thing they just signed. Matchroom has a lifetime deal with Anthony Joshua now, but DAZN announced that deal directly with Anthony Joshua after this next fight. If they sign Ryan Garcia, wouldn't there have been an announcement? I mean, these are things I'm just talking about, okay? I don't know for a fact if he signed with DAZN or not. On one hand, Chris Mannix says, according to DAZN, right? Oscar says, we got to deal with them. Wouldn't that be the time when Oscar would have said, no, Ryan Garcia has a deal with DAZN too. So, and like I said, wouldn't there have been an announcement? I mean, shit, if they're gonna announce Anthony Joshua before a fight, he has one more fight that's not even going to be on DAZN in the UK. Wouldn't they announce that shit? Anyway.
An exclusive contract. I mean, DAZN repeatedly said, hey, we're going to Deontay Wilder, and we went to we went to the Charlos, we went to Danny Garcia, we went to Thurman, and so all these guys, because they weren't signed exclusive to Showtime, so why would we need to go to Showtime? Well, I mean, shoes on the other foot now. Why would we need to go to DAZN, you know, when DAZN isn't signed Ryan exclusively?
So that's, there you go. There you have it. That's what I was going to play. That's what he said. That is, and that's where Joe Markowski, that's what he responded to. So, I like I said, the time cut off, that's all it was. You know what I mean? It is what it is. Now, okay? This is some crazy shit here, okay? So, here is, let me just cue this up real quick. Here is Demetrius Andre, some audio of him, calling for Eubank Jr. Now remember, Eubank Jr. is deep into negotiations, which sounded like they agreed to terms. It sounded like they agreed to a catch weight, but it sounds like the rehydration clause is what was the sticking point, which that makes sense. Listen to what Demetrius Andre said this video.
You're off a lot of money. Play me, bro. $1 million for me.
It's just right there, dude. Like, and I gotta admit, I don't know if what kind of lifestyle he lives. You know, I fully admit I put something in the air. I don't really drink that much. I'm about to go on vacation. I will then. I put something in the air. I'm not saying I live a complete drug video. He looks faded. I'm just gonna say that. Okay, allegedly. He looks faded, but he's like, dude, it just seems like sometimes he's not on this planet. I feel bad for him, but then I don't. But he's like, dude, like over $1 million. Like, to me, that's fucking huge money, right? But it's just weird to say that when you know there's a lot more than $1 million with that Conor Benn on the table right now. It's just funky, and the timing's weird. This is just classic Demetrius Andre. Here's the audio.
Excuse me. Y'all offer a lot of money. It's claiming, bro. Over $1 million. For me, it's like over $1 million, bro. We're talking like, it's not for the fans' sake, bro. It's for your pocket, for, like, your mom, your dad. I don't know if you got kids. I got kids. I got.
And it's like, dog, we know what the money's for, but probably five times or three times, four times more up front on the table that he's getting offered right now.
Kids, bro. Feel me? I do what I do. There's a whole lot of money on the table for me and you to fight for the WBO. Super. And when I say super, I mean like super. Not super middleweight champion, but, yo, bro, we are stars, bro. You're a star, I'm a star. I'm a superstar. You're a star.
See, now, Andre just called himself a superstar.
Got two horses. We'll make a lot of money. So put this fight together, bro. We're talking about fighting somebody that is not even relevant to the situation.
I mean, he's more than relevant. And like I said, I don't know if he's going to get but he's going to get just as much to fight Andre, probably more, because it's going to be on pay-per-view. So it's just funny to be like, he's not, it's as if it's like not even good money or something. I get it that, you know, he's a welterweight, but dude.
We need all the fans, all the UK fans, all the American fans, all the Cape Verdean fans that's already going to pull up. Trust me. I got Luxembourg. I got Amsterdam. I got UK. Got Africa, they're going to pull up to the O2 Arena. I want them to go all the way to London. O2 Arena, they're fighting. They're back here. Because Sky Sports know real fighting, real boxing. Thank you, Sky Sports, for, you know, putting the opportunity out there. Chris Eubanks, man, don't do that. Don't do that. Come back.
And don't get me wrong. I feel what he's saying as far as don't do that. You know, don't do that. But when you look at it, he can beat Conor Benn and then fight Andre. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It was just a funny video. But I feel him on that. Don't do that, you know. I do feel him on that. So I agree with him there. And hey, do you, dude. You know? Do you. I think that's awesome. You know what I mean? He needs to, he needs a big fight, and that'd be an interesting fight. So I would like that fight, and I hope he gets a big fight. In many ways, I pull for him to get a big fight, but and at least it's Sky Sports. So, you know, maybe ultimately that'll be what the fight is. You know, they probably want, well, hold on. Isn't that from DAZN? Who's making the big offers? Is this Sky Sports or DAZN? I thought it was DAZN. You know what I haven't heard? Funny enough, a split pay-per-view. I haven't heard Eddie Hearn saying about a split like Sky Sports and DAZN. Now, we know why the fuck that one happened. Because he just left them. But that's what I'm saying. Like, Eubank Jr., you know, Conor Benn. Why isn't that? Well, technically, he wasn't. I don't think he signed him, right? Because they just did a fight with. They just did a Kell Brook, Amir Khan. That was on Sky, right? Yeah. Anyway, I just thought it was a funky video, dude. It was just weird. It was just like I said though, you know, give me that fight though. That'll be a good ass fight. I'm not gonna sit here and downplay that. Here's somebody to Manic saying DAZN also, because he says, well, you know, DAZN has spent millions on Ryan Garcia, so that's why it has to be a split pay-per-view. But DAZN also spent more, by the way, spent millions to build Devin Haney, which they did spend a lot of money, I'd say more, because he's been there longer, making more money, I'd say. Maybe I'm wrong on that, but I don't think I am. They spent millions on Devin Haney, but he had to go to ESPN at Top Rank to do it. You know, it's pretty clear that the zone isn't needed, he says. Well, whatever. Now, here's another DAZN employee, Steven Wulhansen, and he actually later that night deleted this. But he said, gate attraction is Tank. In terms of people watching at home, it's Garcia. And it's funny, I responded right away saying, prove it. Prove Ryan Garcia that more people are at home watching Ryan Garcia than Tank. Prove it to me. Because we don't get the zone numbers. So, but he deleted. I'm not saying he deleted it because of me. I'm just saying he deleted it. This is Fred. No one was writing, well, HBO should really give ESPN a percentage of the fight because that's the network Floyd started his career with. Kind of funny. Espinosa made clear points. Garcia's not exclusive, if that is true, to the best of anyone's knowledge. Blah, 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 blah. Oh, here is the biggest fanboy. This is the weirdest fanboy here. Or actually just the hater of Deontay Wilder. Listen to this fucking comment. This is boxing Twitter to a T. Deontay Wilder waited until Tyson Fury retired before he fought again. Shaking my head, I said what I said. Let me read that again. Wilder waited until Tyson retired to come back. What the fuck, dude? Do you want him to get fucking completely concussed and knocked out for like 3 weeks? Like, do you want to see him in a coma? Is that what you want to do? I said what I said. Oh, did you? You didn't say fucking much, dude. Come on, man. I mean, how much of a hater do you have to be? I just can't get over this tweet, dude. You waited until Tyson. Because you're afraid of Tyson, even though you got pummeled and had the rematch. Oh, boy. It's just funny. Okay, here. Uh-oh. We got the big drama show. With Ryan Garcia stopping Fortuna, will Ryan Garcia and Canelo finally stop cherry-picking bumps? Finally fight someone who poses a real challenge? Oh, God, I just can't make this shit up. It's got to be a troll, right? Obviously, because, I mean, dude, Canelo just got beat, dude. So sick of these diva cherry-picking bumps and opponents who have no chance of winning besides Bivol, who just won. It's clear that Queen Rye, will duck Haney. He can't fight Haney right now. Canelo's ducking Benavidez, Charlo, and Andre. I wish Canelo would fight somebody, dude. Oh, wait, he just got beat. My bad. What do you know? What's funny? Oh, you know what? Want to know what's funny about Ben Eubank matchup? Hearn back in 2016 was trying to make GGG and Eubank, and once that fell through, he moved on to Brooke. Taking the fight. Now, Hearn wanted Brooke Ben, and once Brooke fell through, he moved to, yeah, we know, that's not really a good one. Oh, here's another one by Fred. Ryan Garcia just fought Javier Fortuna. Did PBC get a cut of this fight? Because Sampson has several fighters that fight under his banner. I mean, that's kind of what we're talking about here. Oh, here's Terrence Crawford talking on the Showtime podcast about Boots Ennis. He said Boots is a tremendously talented guy, very strong, knows boxing. He's going to be a force to be reckoned with, me and him, later down the line. If that comes on my table and it's the right fight for me, I'm taking it all. Interesting. Very, very interesting. All right. So we're going to shut this thing down, guys. We're going to shut it down. I hope you have a great week coming up. And, you know, I'll be back next Monday. Enjoy the fights this weekend. Enjoy the week. Like I said, I'm going to go on a little bit of vacation, go up north there, up in northern Minnesota. You know, we got all these lakes up here, so I'm going to get by one of them. And yeah, anyway, I'm going to get out of here. Like I said, enjoy the fights. Let's hope we get some good news about this fall schedule that's coming up. Peace.
Once you become the world champion, I believe...